Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In the Now podcast channel. Joining us once again for the conversation, glad to welcome back on this Wednesday morning, Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, welcome back. Thank you for dropping by and for spending some time today with our listeners and clients. Nice to be back on the mic with you.
Good to be back with you, Dan. Thanks for having me again.
So, Shane, as we speak today on Wednesday, October 15th, we're 2 weeks into the government shutdown heading into week three. Can you speak a bit to the scope of impact at this point to government workers, employees, as well as services? And do you have a sense for where negotiations stand to ultimately achieve a resolution?
Right. Yeah. No, this has been an interesting 2 weeks. I think you see different contours from previous shutdowns where, the administration has some flexibility of where to push and pull and put pressure on. And so the Trump administration for this shutdown is holding back some of the pressure, not all. For example, they're having air traffic controllers go to work, Customs and Border Patrol, law enforcement. And so that has kept some normalcy. We have seen some ripples there where, there's been some FAA air traffic controllers who've called out for sick on work and that caused some disruption. But, wasn't as big as previous shutdowns where, air traffic controllers, planned a wider outage that really helped put pressure on lawmakers to come to an agreement. So, that's an example. I think, one of the bigger ones that we're watching is, the federal employee workforce and the Trump administration starting to roll out, not only furloughs, but reduction in force, essentially firing some to lower the total headcount for federal employees. And, this is catching the attention of Democrats, but it's not enough to move the needle yet. Negotiations have not progressed in the past 2 weeks. I think this week is where we'll start to see pressure be put on that may get the sides to the table. It may not be enough, though. It may require a few more weeks. Republicans are signaling that they're in for the long term. This is part reality to show that they're serious, but also to try and get Democrats to come to the table so that, they have a stronger hand in negotiations with Democrats. I think, the events over the next week or two, could move the needle as we see, more furloughs. Some people go without pay. We saw the Trump administration essentially move money around the Department of Defense to pay armed service members. That helped alleviate some pressure on the Republican side. But it's unclear if that can be done again, and, we'll be back in the same spot in 2 weeks. Another interesting development is that, last night the Senate voted, I think, for the eighth time on the House-passed funding bill, and it failed for the eighth time. The only difference was that Senator Fetterman, a Democrat who's been voting with Republicans on this one, missed the vote. So no real change there, but the change that's upcoming is that Senator John Thune, the Republican leader in the Senate, seems to be changing tactics and will be taking up one of the 12 funding bills that fund government operations. And he'll be starting with the largest bill, which is the Department of Defense appropriations bill. And that will be an interesting exercise to see. It's generally a bipartisan bill. So it'll be interesting if they can move that, and maybe that starts to open the floodgates to a wider conversation about how to open government operations. So, as of today, again, not much progress since the government was shut down 2 weeks ago. But I think there may be some events on the horizon here that, could spur something. But I don't want to be too optimistic at this point.
Well, Shane, a very helpful update as to where this all stands. Helpful to know what's been happening behind the scenes, and we shall see what happens here over the next several days and weeks. Another topic I wanted to bring up, we did see late last week on Friday, indications of renewed trade tensions involving the U.S. and China, some pressure on trading on markets on Friday. We did see some renewed volatility. What exactly has been conveyed by both the U.S. and China on this front, and does this renewed tension impact the potential for an upcoming meeting involving Presidents Trump and Jinping, which was previously put out there as a possibility?
Yeah, so this started actually the day before on Thursday with China's announcement that they're going to restrict export of some rare earth minerals that are critical, you know, to pretty much our everyday society and so many products that we use. And the Trump administration replied on Friday, essentially saying, you know, that they would apply 100% tariffs on Chinese products. And so that was the market event of Friday, right? And over the weekend, the Trump administration, you know, walked it back a little to settle the markets. However, there's, you know, a lot of questions remain. And I think, you know, you're going to see verbal jousting over the next 2 weeks in the lead up to this meeting between Xi and Trump, and even possibilities that, you know, both sides threaten to not participate in the meeting. I think at the end of the day, they do participate, but it may be a little bit of a rocky ride the next 2 weeks when it comes to trade in China. You know, this has been a longstanding issue for the Trump administration, right? You know, it goes back to when he was first elected in 2016. And I think it will be a continued story even after this month. You know, even if there is a meeting that goes well, we should not view this as done. You know, I think throughout the remainder of a Trump presidency, there's not only going to be rough waters on the trade front, but specifically U.S.-China trade relations. And so we're seeing that pan out. You know, glad to see that, you know, the sides have cooled the waters a little bit, but that doesn't mean there won't be choppy waters ahead. I would expect that. So, you know, it'll be an interesting lead up to the meeting. And I think it's way too early to say, you know, what will come out of that meeting. It may just be a good starting point, or it may lead to more volatility. So, definitely something for us to keep an eye on in the coming days and weeks.
Well, Shane, very helpful clarity as to where talks stand and knowing that this is a very market-moving topic. So appreciate the color there. And thank you again, Shane, for dropping by on this Wednesday morning to keep our listeners, our clients informed. And as always, do look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Dan. It's good to be with you as always. And hope you guys have a great day.
You as well. Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. And as always, I do like to remind you, our listeners, please be sure to reference the Washington Weekly publication, which is made available up on UBS.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit UBS.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit UBS.com/CIO to view the latest research. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully properly read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.